Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Leading the Way. And with me today, we are going to be chatting about this thing and a word that none of us really want to talk about anymore. But we're going to be talking about leading through the pandemic crisis. And with me is our leading lady today, Jessica Word, and she is the president of Word & Brown General Agency, headquartered in Orange County, California. And I'm excited. So Jessica, say hello and just say hi to all of our listeners.
Well, hello, all the listeners. I'm very excited to be here today. Thank you very much. My name
is
Jessica.
I'm excited to have you. There you go. You are that. I know, you know, we're 9 months later from what happened when literally, I think all of us say, when the world changed and it was this huge shift, this huge pivot, you know, and we've all had to adapt in so many ways. But one of the things I want all of our listeners to hear is just what an incredible and just, I can't even imagine the shift and the pivot that Word & Brown went through when the stay-at-home orders came down. I mean, can we kind of go back, if you can think back to that moment when it was, as a company, most of your, all of your employees really were in facilities and working either on their own or on the road or whatever, but what was the day like when you all realized that you're going to have to, you know, quickly get all the employees to a remote situation and a workplace?
Well, that's a great question. And everybody has gone through their own challenges, and nobody's challenge is more complicated than anybody else. We all stress out. We just get there differently, but we all feel the same with stress. So it was pretty challenging, you know? And so it was go time. There wasn't any, let's stop and figure out who's going to do this or what. I just got in there, and my staff got in there. We just got things done, what needed to be done, and created, you know, a gap analysis of, okay, so of our staff, who actually has a company laptop? And, you know, amongst the Word & Brown family of companies, you know, there's just about 600 employees. And so it was pretty intense, because about 250 of them did not have a company laptop, which means we had to get everybody up and running.
Wow.
And on VPN and home, and then had to create, you know, spreadsheets asking, okay, do you have any ability to work from home? Do you have a computer at home? And do you have Wi-Fi? Do you have connectivity, headsets, printers? And it was important, you know, people wanted to take their chairs and whatnot. It's like, okay, let's slow down, because we actually have to capture everything that everyone's taking. And you know, I have to hand it to my IT and the executive steering committee and finance and HR. Everybody came together, and, you know, it's not one person said, no, that's not my job. You know, we just went through and got it done. And personally, for me, I was up for 3 nights. I don't think I slept much any of those 3 nights,
wow.
You know, because
wow.
Ultimately it's the staff is the most important thing to our organization and to me. You know, if they're not okay, no one's okay. And above all, that's the most important piece. Yes, we have to get work, keep that going, because, you know, what we do is in the health insurance industry, it's important we make sure that those that need health insurance actually get the help they need. And so it was pretty intense. But your staff, you know, if business is important, keep the lights on, but you're not going to have the lights on if your staff doesn't feel taken care of, or, you know, or seen or heard. And so that was the first and foremost, making sure how do we help support you and to, you know, start with our core team first. Our core
right.
part of our company,
right.
You know, which is our team. So it was a lot of sleepless nights. And we were actually
and we all,
able
all
to
all of us remember.
Yeah.
you know, we all remember where we were that day, right? It's kind of like one of those days. But, you know, I've had the pleasure and the insight to meet a few of your female leaders that are at Word and Brown. And, you know, everybody just has this wonderful spirit of how can we, you know, do better together, you know, making sure the company and what's going on. I mean, amazing. And I'm curious for you because, you know, I hope you don't mind me sharing this. It's like you've got small children and, you know, for you as a mama bear, right, and as the president of a large organization, what was that like? I mean, because here you're working all night. Where did you, as a mom, how did you handle that piece of it where you've got small children that, you know, then they aren't going to school and you're having to, you know, be at home? We're all concerned because we're hearing, you know, that there's this health crisis. What was that like, you know, to manage that?
Well, have you ever heard the saying, it's like drinking through a fire hose? You know, it's so much is coming at you. So much is coming at you at once, and there's no time to stop and think about, there's no time to plan how to do this appropriately. But, you know, I was mm-hmm. able to lean on my amazing husband, and, you know, we came together as a family and had a good discussion with the kids. And, you know, one of the hardest parts about working from home, and it still is to this day, but it started initially in the beginning, was when mommy's home, the kids think, okay, it's playtime. And so that was the hard part of having to be home and not being able to be with them. It broke their hearts. It broke my heart. And then here they are very confused because they had to do at-home schooling, Zoom. And one of the most challenging mm-hmm. things, you know, was my husband every morning, you know, we'd get the Zoom ID, the night before, actually the morning of, and it was like, okay, go time. You need to set everybody up in their own little private worlds. And it was very, very complicated. There's a few nail biters, let's just say, in the morning between my husband and I, but we got through it, but it was not easy. And, you know, I'm really proud to say that, you know, with my company, we got everybody up and running working from home within 2 weeks. And that was saving grace.
Okay, that's incredible.
It was very, very incredible with just the efficiencies that we have. And we learned a lot along the way, you know, about perhaps we need to update some SOPs for our disaster recovery plan. And, you know, when pandemics happen, you know, nobody was prepared for something at this level. And so it just taught us a lot of lessons along the way, you know, that, you know, even if something you think can never even happen, we need to have an SOP for that, to plan for that. And so a lot of beautiful things came out of it. But,
yeah, I wanted to jump in on that with you, Jessica, because I think that's been, for so many of our listeners, you know, nothing was planned and prepared for this. I mean, at a company, at the you know, I mean, if you don't mind sharing, like, what can you give just some insight so everybody knows as listeners, what is, you know, Word and Brown? Like, do you mind sharing the total sales revenue or how many employees or how big your company is? Because I want everybody to understand this was not like a 5-employee company. This was a few hundred, if I understand right.
Correct. Correct. For Word and Brown family of companies, it's roughly about 600 all in. And, you know, for general agency, it's just under 200. The company that I'm president of is a general agency. And so what we do is we focus in the health space, the medical dental vision life, you know, we and our end user mm-hmm. is broker. And so we service brokers on the front end with our, you know, proprietary quoting system. And then actually help them sell and then go enroll. And then the case comes back and we underwrite it. And then we send it to our carrier partners. And then we support the back end ultimately.
Right.
And our sister company is. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know you guys have a family of things. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I know we're talking over each other a bit.
Okay. Oh, no. I was just, our sister company is California Choice. And so that's, you know, a private exchange here in California. So we don't have a chance to fail because essentially, like, especially during COVID, everybody, you know, those that need health insurance, we have to make sure that they get it as quickly and efficiently as they can. And we focus on small group, that's
right.
Core competency and large group. But we also have offices, the GA has offices in San Diego, Orange County is our flagship, our home office, and then Inland Empire, Los Angeles, and up in San Jose, which covers Northern California. And then we also have, we're in Nevada as well, in Vegas. And so a really complicated thing for the GA was every building is handling things differently. You're supposed to wear a mask. You're supposed to have restrictions on how many people in the elevator. And we could not control that. In fact, our San Jose office got shut down a lot than the other ones because of everything going on up north, of course, at the time with the COVID impact.
Right.
And so it was pretty intense.
See, I didn't even think about, you know, the idea that you guys, I knew you were in different states, but oh, you're right. Different states had different, you know, rules at the time when things happened. And I can't imagine trying to lead through that. And then when you were saying SOP, the standard operating procedures, you know,
right.
The big, what has been the big learn from that is that when you said you updated it, is it that now you're prepared if this happens again, or did you look at your SOP for just what was happening now with the idea that there's this huge remote workforce that's not working in the buildings right now, they're working at home. What are the big changes for you guys with kind of standard operating procedure, if you don't mind sharing
right.
just a couple of big ones?
Yeah, sure. I think the biggest one is we didn't have one for, you know, our staff to work from home, you know. So we have, you know, in Northern California, we, you know, allow some of our staff to work from home so they don't have to travel very far into the office in San Jose. They're located in Fresno, for example. So that was a huge one. And, you know, and now we've created SOPs, standard operating procedures, to capture information about company equipment and what people have available at home. And these are things that just we never it occurred to us to do so. And we have to be HIPAA compliant. And so if we have to make sure that if we have our underwriters or account managers or whomever working from home, that they are following HIPAA procedures. And that's a pretty long list of what, you know, what to find, you know, what constitutes HIPAA compliance. So that was a really, really big lift.
You know, I'm going to shift for a second because I know you pretty well, but I'd love for you to share with our listeners, because of being a mom with young children, you know, going through what you've gone through with just an inordinate amount of stress and I'm sure anxiety, you know, and then wanting to be seen, right? And like you got this. Can you kind of dial in and tell us what, because people are saying now that mental wellness is what is going to be the hard legacy, you know, from this whole crisis, right? People are kind of, if I can say, losing their minds at home. You know, we've got moms that are like homeschooling and, you know, they liked working in the office or now they like working at home. I mean, there's all these things that have happened. For you personally, what has been the journey like for you? I mean, and if you don't mind sharing, I'm sure there's been frustration. I'm sure there's been, gosh, I got this. You know, I can't believe we're doing this when it was never a standard protocol before. I mean, what has been kind of the emotional ups and downs in your head as a leader, if you can kind of maybe pinpoint a few of those things in your leadership journey? Because I would imagine it was all over the board. And then you got to deal with your own family, right? You got to go right heart center to what you have in front of you. But you're leading a lot of people. What was that like emotionally for you?
Well, quite frankly, I said that. And initially, I took care of everyone and everything I could around me. And, you know, as a result of that, I wasn't as balanced as I wanted to be, as I normally am. So that was difficult. And it's difficult when, you know, you're dealing with people that you care about and that you work with that are dealing with people that have COVID or you know, elderly parents that are no longer with us today. And then you have the other spectrum where you have people that don't have any family at home and it's just them. And that was like coming into the office was a big part of their social setup. And so just trying to handle all that and being creative and how do we still see each other and how do we still have fun? How do we keep our company culture and how do I keep my, you know, my culture and my family? I suppose that's not probably the best way to say that, but you know, it was really hard, really stressful. And I found that, you know, I just needed to take time for myself. And so I have a set time every morning where it's just myself. And this is really early in the morning. No one's awake. At least they're not supposed to be. That doesn't always work out. But I get up really, really early and I don't look at my phone. You know, I don't even touch anything with electronics or work. I don't pick up anything work related. And I do my, you know, my self-care, my self-love. And that's, for me, that comes in a form of, you know, meditation and prayer and just, you know, good breathing and whatnot. And so that's my saving grace, because I find out, you know, sometimes the kids wake up really early, then I don't get that time alone. And as my day goes on, you just get caught up and there's no time for it. So it's so important that for myself, I just found time to do so. And I keep
wow.
that ritual every day. It's very difficult. And then, you know, for the staff, some beautiful things have come of this, because now there's some staff I never got to see that are in different offices. So now I've done virtual meetings with them, lunch with the president. I send them, you know, Grubhub cards for $25, and we just have fun and we play games and we just, you know, get to know each other. In a way, it's brought us closer than I ever could have imagined. So there's the good and the bad, but everything's an experience, and everything we're doing is, you know, it's only making us stronger, each and every one of us. There's a reason why, you
yeah.
know, we can persevere, and persevering is so important.
And I love things you said earlier, where it's like, we're all going through this, you know, to get, you know, we're all going through this individually, but we're all kind of facing similar things. Right. So I love what you said, that I call this the genie out of the bottle, right? It's like so many people were very averse to like Zoom meetings or team meetings or any of that before in a remote setting. And now it's like the new thing. Like, we know, I don't know about you guys, but some of our calls with some of our members and things, you know, we've gotten to know the four-legged family members of everybody. You know, we've seen people a little casual, you know, in some of the calls where before it was like we'd all be gussied up, you know, in the workplace and, you know, the dress attire. Talk a little bit, because that's one thing I know that's come up with a lot of companies right now is, have things really taken more of a casual tone, you know, in how people are showing up online and in meetings? And does it matter? You know, from your perspective, you know, because when you go into a meeting in a boardroom, you're all dressed up, everybody's got their game face on. But what's it been like, you know, with remote managing and leading?
That's a great question, Michelle. Thank you. And so we've experienced a lot of this. Initially with Zoom, everyone, you know, we got to see the camera, we want to see you. And then some people said, well, I don't have a camera, and, you know, they didn't want to be seen. And so after all these experiences that we've come down, we now have a process internally where if we're sending out a meeting, we actually put it in the subject line, no video required, you know, because there's some meetings that are actually paramount to that. And it's expected, you know, to show up as a professional, especially if you're interfacing with our brokers and our carrier partners and whatnot. But internally, it's also equally important for particular meetings, you know, if there's executives on. And what I've found is that for me personally, I think it kind of feels good to put that work shirt back on, you know, even though, or the whole outfit, because it just reminds you, you know, kind of, it's a mental shift. I'm like, okay, it's game time. It's work time. You know, I go to this section of my closet. I'm like, this is the serious time. and it just brings,
right.
it brings about a
That's
different
right.
type of feeling. Right. Mm-hmm. But when it's casual, you know, and so, when it's a casual meeting, you know, even if the video's on, it's nice to be casual, to laugh at. And it's kind of fun, because I've asked people, okay, unmute yourself, so we can actually feel like we're in a room together, because a lot of people go on mute, but we're missing all the funny chuckles, side comments, or, you know, just in general. So it's really important to, when you're having, you know, for at least for myself, in a meeting where you just want to get everybody's culture back, you just go on mute, unmute yourself, and have some fun. And, you know, video is very, very important. It's really hard to get to know somebody without the video on. But some meetings, we just don't need it.
I love that.
It just depends.
I love that. Yeah, there's been
yeah.
mean, some companies I know have done, they've done, because Zoom's at, I don't know if you guys use Zoom or Teams, or how you do Zoom or Teams. What do you guys use?
A little bit of everything. Depending
right.
on who
yeah.
sets the meeting up, right? But
okay.
Zoom, it's primarily Zoom.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been some fun things I know that Zoom has added to meetings with, like, you know, kind of like you can add a mustache, you can change some kind of funny characters with it.
Yeah,
it's really, I'll have
one.
To show you those. It's hilarious.
I like to touch
it's
up.
Hilarious.
I like to touch
you know,
up my appearance one. That's a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that one they have. I'll have to show you that one. I will walk you through that. That's so funny. You know, I appreciate you sharing this, because, you know, it is. I mean, when we think back, I go, holy wow. You know, we're hitting the end of the year of this, and it's still not done, right? I mean, in
right.
California, you know, we've gone backwards. You know, everybody's really kind of back to, you know, be at home, stay at home. It's not, you know, total lockdown, but it's very close. And I'm curious, you know, how I'm a planner. I know, I think you are. I know your company is, and you are. what are you guys thinking for the next year? I mean, as the vaccine has now, just started to come out, but how do you see next year? Are you going to keep everything the same way? Are you now letting some team members and staff come back to the office? Or what are things looking like for 2021 for Word & Brown?
Well, right now we're on a phase one approach, and that's a voluntary only basis. And so nobody's expected to come in. It's just voluntary only. And those that do come in, you know, we just need to know ahead of time, or we've actually already mapped that out. And so if you're in a cubicle, you can't be next to somebody, cubicle next to you. And so we spaced that out. But, you know, it's a purely a voluntary basis right now. You know, initially nobody was allowed to come in. And so, but now we're, so it's more like a phase two voluntary basis. And then, excuse me. And so once we get back to the new normal, whatever that means, we have decided,
yeah,
because our company has actually is never been more efficient ever. And we're just excelling, you know, we're blowing through our goals and numbers. And so it's incredible to know that we can do this and we can continue to do this. But that being said, the company culture is very important to us. And so we're in discussions right now with the steering committee about what's going to be the permanent work from home guidelines, but we are creating them right now. And it's going to be, you know, some staff will be allowed to work from home a certain amount of times for each week. And then we're also in discussions about, you know, of our regional offices, do we really need the brick and mortar? And so we're just deep in discussions right now. But what we are doing is that we are recognizing, you know, how important it is for our staff to have peace of mind and not be in the car for 2 hours a day, 2.5 hours a day, getting to and from the work, especially if they're blowing through their sales or being more efficient. And so it's things like that,
right,
where it's like, okay, it's important that, you know, peace of mind, you know, and as I said, it goes back to taking care of the people that are most important, or the things that are most important, which are the people for myself and our company.
It is, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that, and I want to hear kind of your kind of feedback as a leader and the president, that, you know, usually when you're in business, you're like, you've got, you know, people that are just stellar, that are up there as icons, you know, and how people have run businesses and how they've done things. You follow the model in many cases of how they've done it, right? There's someone to kind of guide and look at as somebody that's been there and done it. With this, it's like with this pandemic, there's no rule book. Nobody has really ever gone through this. I mean, for you as a leader, it's like, how have you kind of kept that, you know, when I think of a leader, I think of a certain stature, I think of a certain calmness, a certain behavior, like, you know, that, you know, you never let them see you sweat kind of thing. What has been kind of your mental mantra to yourself to kind of hold it together through all this, knowing that you don't have all the answers? You know, I know the team is important to you, but what have you personally kind of had to tweak and refine for yourself as a leader over these months, and what you're thinking of for the future? Because there's no rule book here. There's no answer book you can go to someone to say, hey, tell me how to do this. You're flying blind right now. Just for you,
right,
what's that been like?
Well, honestly, truthfully, I love it. I love it. I
wow,
love
listen to you. Okay.
I do. Well, I mean, because we get to carve our own path. And so we're looking at something,
yeah,
and now we get an opportunity to, okay, so I'm not going to get the answer. We're going to do that because that's the way we've always done it. And that is the biggest issue that some companies have, is that, like, they just continue on doing something because that's the way they've always done it. And for whatever reason, you know, change is a lot more difficult in some areas, but this is fun. I love this because this is where we get to, you know, co-create, and then we get to work with the staff and come up with a plan together. Because sometimes you get into a world where processes are already, you know, implemented and before you got there, but you have some ideas you want to change. And so this has been incredible for our company and my staff, because we get to do this together. And I get to hear from people that normally would never have spoken up, and great ideas. And so I've truly enjoyed this, because I'm always looking to streamline efficiencies. And this is an opportunity for you know, the processes to change, but for also for people to get out of their own way. Right. And so some people just keep doing something because that's the way we've been doing it for 20 years. I have a lot of staff that's been here for over 20 years. Companies 35, you know, been around for 35 years. And so they had a certain way of doing things. Well, guess what? Now that they're home, you don't have access to a printer. Do you even need a printer? Do you even need a file folder? You know, digital strategy is key. Digital transformation. And I absolutely love this. I'm just an analyzer nerd. So maybe I'm not normal, but I love looking at processes and always just try to you know, improve them a long time, but this is allowing for dramatic changes in much quicker, shorter amount of time, and we're doing it together. And that's the part I love. And a lot of staff, when they're invested in something, then they feel a part of it, any process, and then they take part ownership in it. So when you're handed something, it's like, okay, get the sun's expectation. But in agreement, when you do something together, it just works out a lot better, in my experience.
Can I just say, man, I'm inspired just after hearing that. I know it's been a rough year, so for, you know, for everybody. And you know, I'm not taking any sort of, like, you know, funness here. I'm thinking how many people have lost family members, or, you know, just the whole thing of people that are not with us anymore. But I think from a business standpoint, man, that's powerful, because I, you know, so many people do. There's so much bad news in the media. You know, we're just inundated. We've gone through just such a polarizing, you know, election. And here you're saying, you know what? We're thriving in it. It's like we're learning, we're growing, we're interacting differently. I think that just says the stature of what you as a leader are all about. I think, you know, and we've only got a few minutes left, but I hope there'll be more of these with us, Jessica, because I think you've got a lot to share with people. And, you know, for you personally, like, what has been, if you could share, the biggest growth aha that you've had this year? What has surprised you about you and how you've led through this whole year? I know that's a big question, and you know, you can think on it for a minute because I'm surprising you, but what's the biggest biggest aha for you as a leader?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a hard question. There's been, like, you know, there's been a lot of growth opportunities for me personally, and there's not one big aha. It's just a cumulative of everything I've gone through, and I'm still here, and the staff is still here. And the most beautiful thing this year is just to see the connectivity and how much everybody's coming together to work together. And I, you know, I guess one of the biggest aha is it's beautiful to know when other people are part of a process, because sometimes we go along our days saying, oh, I can just get this done. You know, I don't need all these people involved in this world. Well, it's amazing, because then you truly see the value that everyone does bring to the table or doesn't. You know, during this time of crisis for leaders, you know, you're either, as a leader, you're going to step into the light, you know, or you're going to, you know, stay in the shadows, I should say. I mean, there's, without the cracks, we wouldn't see the light come through, right? There's cracks in everything, but you got to go to the light, and you have to actually just try to level up and be better. And, you know, I've just learned a lot about people and whatnot, but one of my favorite things is there's been, you know, some people that always maybe thought they didn't need someone else's help or whatnot, but they truly see the value, and I'm seeing connections that I've never seen before between other people, and that's just beautiful for me.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you realize, but there's so many, like, bright little phrases that you've just said on what you can inspire people with that you just said. I want to recommend that you go listen to that, because I go, in our heads, you know, as leaders, it's like, you know, you never let people see you sweat, but I think I love that, because even for me this year, it's been those things where I go, you know what, I don't have all the answers. You know, I mean, I've always been, you know, the whole year has been planned out, and then we execute, right? Well, this year, it's like there's been no plan. Then you put, like, maybe a short-term plan together, and that changes, and you got to go forward. Then you got to go backwards. But seriously, what a gem. I mean, that says a lot of who you are, and also what kind of culture, you know, you're leading through in your company. I mean, everybody seems to, the ones that I've met, right, from your marketing team, have just been wonderfully, let's just can do. Let's work through this, you know, and that comes through with you, which is driving the helm. So that's awesome. I'm going to ask you one final question, and thank you for just doing this with me. I know I'd like to have more of these as we get through the next year. You know, I think we all can learn from each other, because, like, again, there's no rule book on this. It's been, you know, frustrating. It's been incredible. It's been life-changing, I think, for us in such a huge way, and who's shown up and who hasn't has been really interesting. But for you and so many of our listeners, Jessica, that are, you know, there's so many women right now that are at home, right? They're working in their careers, or they're running small businesses. You know, a lot of women have children. You know, still women are the ones that are doing a lot of that child care and dealing with kids and school, and now it's the holidays. What would maybe be some insight you would share with women all over who are working women that can just say, you know what, we got to get through this? What would be some, you know, just some great personal insight you might share, knowing that you're walking in their shoes as well?
Well, it's just, so for, okay, I mean, because there's all different types of women, those that have kids, those that don't and whatnot. For me personally, you know, my kids are 6 and 7. And so what's been amazing for me is that I carve time out for them no matter what at certain times. And that's that time. And to just not break a schedule, but you have to take care of yourself, treat yourself, love yourself, treat yourself like the person you love the most and how you treat them. We never do that for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so just never forget to put the oxygen mask on for yourself and take time. I've set times that you just will not break your commitment, either with your kids, your husband, or yourself, or a friend. But right. Take time for yourself. Oh, please do that. That's the most important piece. And, you know, you get to. You know, we have a lunch hour, everybody, but most of us never took it to begin with, right? Well, now it's
time to take it.
I never did, right? Now it's actually time to take it, and it's okay to put your out of office on. It felt so bizarre to do so, right? In the beginning, it's like, well,
right.
I'm going to be out of the office, like, I'm, you know, I'm PTO, but it was really weird to do so. But I finally got to the place where, like, I need a break, and it's okay, because if you're not okay, nothing around you is okay.
Yeah.
So
I love that. I love that. You know, I think I'd love on our next show, it's like we bring you back and really talk about that self-care, because I think that's what we're all seeing is just the weariness of being, you know, at home and just then navigating back to, you know, whatever normal life is. You know, we don't know. It's
right.
going to be definitely a lot of layers next year. But, man, thank you for being my leading lady. You definitely are, Miss Jessica. And to all of our listeners, I want to say thank you for listening to Women Lead Radio. We are here more than just Mondays and Fridays. We are an international show, and we are excited for everybody to know that after this live broadcast, we're available on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, Google, and Apple Podcasts. So I hope you'll listen in for some of our other shows. And Jessica, Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year. And to all of our listeners, have a wonderful season. And just all I can say right now is we just got to get through this. And thank you for being such an inspiration, Jessica. We'll see you on the next Women Lead Radio
Show. Happy
holidays,
everybody. Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.